One.
Woohoo! All right, that was almost good. How y'all doing? There we go. We learned it. Amen. 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 Y'all ready for Christmas? Amen. I'll tell you what. Pastor Ricky asked me last week or something if I wanted to preach today. I was like, yeah, I do. And as soon as he said that and I agreed, God just dropped something about the true gift of Christmas in my heart. So we're gonna kind of go off of that. And I want to start with a scripture so I don't get ahead of myself, and we'll pray too. Really excited. So if you would, join me in Isaiah chapter 9. As you get there, I'll pray and we'll get after it. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to come before your people, Lord God, and give them a word from you, direct from the throne room. I thank you, Father God, that you use me, and I yield myself to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. So, tonight, the scripture that Isaiah 9:6 is simple as this. It's for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And so, now that I've introduced the scripture to you, that's kind of going to be our text for the night. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. He was given to us, and that's super super important for us to remember. But as long as we have that, I want to go over some things that, you know, a lot of people, Christmas, how many of you know Christmas is an observance of a day of Christ's birth and not actually anywhere near where he was born? Do we know that, show of hands? Born somewhere like between September and August. Our kids go to school thinking that it's Jesus' birthday, and they have some intellectual's son or daughter there that tells them, no, he's born in Christmas, and our kids are all jacked up and not prepared to answer for that. Don't worry here at Spirit Life. I've been teaching kids every December for a long time. Our kids don't have that trouble. Because we tell them the truth about Christmas. We tell them, yes, you're absolutely correct. That person that came up to you and told you that, they're right. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. But even then, Martin Luther King wasn't born the second Monday of every February or whatever it was, right? Because that's when we observe it, right? But people try to give us a hard time because we put a special date on the calendar that we observe our Lord and Savior. And he's a bit more important to me than the presidents. You know, when I was in school, most of you probably, there aren't too many young people, but we didn't have President's Day. Man, in whatever month it was, we got Abraham Lincoln's birthday off. We got Washington's birthday off. We got Martin Luther King's birthday off. We got all the days off. It was like, yeah, it's that time, right? So, and we observe all these guys' birthdays on specific, like the second Monday or whatever it is. But Christians, we're fools because we observe our Savior's birthday on a day that wasn't his birthday. They can take that and have it, whatever. I'll observe Christ's birthday whenever I want. My mom started a tradition. I think it was Heather and my mom started this tradition when we moved to Arizona, that we sung happy birthday to Jesus. And a cake was baked and candles were on it every Christmas. Do that for your kids. It's an exciting opportunity to share with them and treat Jesus just as we would treat each other and our own kids. Other crazy things about Christmas, the wise men, we always have them set up right next to the manger like they were there. And me, I'm setting up the manger for Heather a couple weeks ago. I'm like, where would they have sat? Maybe it's here. Would they have given that right to the baby? But they didn't show up for 2 years. Jesus was already walking and potty trained or whatever. So again, another thing that some of your unbelieving friends and those people that like to poke fun at Christians for the things they believe, they use these little tidbits to insert doubt into your children's minds. And so again, we teach against that here at Spirit Life with the Kids Life Church, and we make sure that they know these little things. Cool things about just traditional stuff, the Christmas tree, people will tell you how it's a pagan thing. I won't get into what it means for pagans, the Christian or the Christmas tree and wreaths, but it's not good. It has something to do with fertility, and you can take that for what it will be. But for Christians, we use an evergreen tree because evergreen symbolizes everlasting life, right? A tree that never dies. The different bulbs were actually the world. They all symbolized the whole world when you hang them on the Christmas tree. Candles were the light of the world. Wreaths, eternity, because it's a never-ending circle. All these things, that they're symbolism in our houses, but most of our kids, you know, the tree is just an ornament or a decoration in the house. We need to let them know it symbolizes Jesus, the fact that he is everlasting and he brings us everlasting life. Amen. The lights on the tree symbolize that he's the light of the world, and the bulbs symbolize the world. We need them to know these things so that they can teach that to their children. And we as Christians, we take away from that commercialism that Christmas has become. When we go along, we started a tradition recently in our house, and this kind of speaks to what Pastor Chelsea was talking about, how the innkeeper, he missed it, yeah. Right? So in Ireland, they during Christmas time, they put a single candle in the window of their homes, and they light that candle for the night because there's a room open for the Savior. Glory to God. That's what the Christmas lights on your house kind of are. They're an indication that there's a vacancy, that you're welcome here, Savior. So we need to remember these things, these traditions about what we've turned them into. We can own whatever we want. We're Christians. We're part of the family. So if I want to take something like that, whether it's a wreath or a tree or a light or a candle in the window, whatever it is, and I want to turn that and say, you know what, I'm going to use what was meant for evil for good, then I'm going to do it. Yes. Flat out. Yeah. I'm going to continue doing that for the rest of my life. And I hope that my kids will have learned some things, and that the kids that I've had the opportunity to spend the last decade with, that they'll have learned some things also, because it's very, very important. So, with all that, and back to the wise men, the gift-giving tradition is because on Christmas or on Jesus' birth, the world received the best gift it could ever receive. It received it as a child, a baby, an infant who, you know, infants, they can't do anything by themselves, of themselves, or for themselves. They whine when they're hungry or when they've made a mess and they want you to clean it up. I wished I could say that cleaning up messes after children ends at like 5, but we know that's not true. Sorry, boys. I had them move up here so I can look at them when I said that. But the most fragile of any human. I mean, Jesus could have been like, you know what, it's time, let's get this done. And he didn't necessarily, well, he did because of prophecy, but he didn't necessarily have to make the prophecy that he would come in such a fragile and dependent state. But in order for him to serve as the perfect lamb, he had to be the perfect lamb. He had to start as a lamb. He had to be exactly like us. He had to put away his entire divinity so that he could be entirely man. And he was entirely man and entirely God at the same time. God's perfect gift to humanity, perfect gift to the world, is Christ Jesus. And that's why in Isaiah 9:6, we need to look at that. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. A son is given. Luke 2:11 through 13, and then I put 14 on there also for, I will see why here in just a second. But if you'd join me there. For unto you is born this day. For unto you is born this day. Now, this isn't Mary and Joseph sitting in the manger and the angel appears to them. No, these are shepherds sitting out in the field. This is one of the reasons why we know it was more towards the summertime than the wintertime, because the shepherds were sitting in the field. They weren't like hunkered down, right? Because it'd be cold in that area at that time. But they don't announce that unto you, Mary, is this child born, but he announces it to the world in the shape of shepherds. For unto you this day is born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger. I kind of thought about that a little bit. Maybe that's where wrapping of presents comes from, because our gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Think about that. So from now on, I'm not buying a bunch of expensive paper. I'm ripping up cloths. You're welcome if you use that wonderful money-saving idea. All them old clothes that you wish your wife or husband would get rid of, I gave you an idea. There you go. This looks like my shirt. Not no more. Oh my gosh. Suddenly there was with the angel a company of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. As I was studying this out, and we always run that together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. But there we're doing two separate things there. Glory to God in the highest. We are giving praise to God. Glory to God in the highest. But on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Peace and goodwill towards men. As Christians, we have, in a lot of ways, we have lost that peace and goodwill towards men. And I'll get into that when I actually start reading notes here in a second. But isn't that awesome? The shepherds are sitting there in the field. They're not doing anything. And they were sorely afraid when the angel showed up. You would be too. I have not seen an angel personally myself, but I have been told by people that have. They are giant. Some 9, some feet tall, and they're beautiful, and they're bright looking. Whoo, boy, you get scared you see an angel. But they had to calm them down. Chill out. We are just bringing good tidings. We've got good tidings. Because you got to remember, a lot of times when an angel showed up, something bad was going to happen. That was smiting time. So they're out there. Maybe they were doing something wrong. And the angel showed up. Oh, we shouldn't have been coarse jesting. I'll just leave it that way. Say they were talking funny things about sheep and stuff. I don't know. And they was in trouble. But the angel calmed them. Said, we're just bringing good news to you. Unto you is born. Unto me, I ain't even married yet. No, unto you is born. Unto you is born, shepherd. Unto you is born who you might be backslidden. Unto you is born who might, you know, have been in a fight 10 minutes ago with your wife. They didn't have cell phones, probably not likely 10 minutes ago. But unto you is born. Unto you is born this Savior, this Christ, the Son of God. Unto you is born the Son of God, given to you by God. And then the last scripture that I have on that is in John 3:16. For God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him. It is a free gift. It is something that God said, we can't put a price on it. And because humanity can't attain it their own way. There's no way that humanity can do this on their own. He said, don't worry about it. We'll pay the price. If you read the original cursing back at the fall of man, you'll find that there in that instance, God put into play the saving of the entire world because he loved you. Because he loved you. And there's nothing that you can do to ever gain or ever earn that love. There is nothing you can do. Because you have, I'm not sorry, you have offended God. I've offended God. I'm sure at one point or another today, I offended God. Through thoughts or words or being rude or whatever it was. There is no way that we can earn that. There's no way we can deserve it. But it's a gift that we receive by grace through faith. Because all we have to do is say, yes, God, I believe that. Yes, God, I believe that. And I accept your Son. Christmas is a time of giving, a time of peace, a time of family, a time to run down your nearest store and kneecap that person that's going after that TV, right? That's what the commercialism has turned Christmas into. I started thinking about this. Think about Santa Claus. Santa Claus, he's keeping a list, and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. How far from the gift and the message of Christmas is Santa Claus' naughty and nice list? Because it doesn't matter how naughty you are. Doesn't matter how nice you are. In fact, in Isaiah, it says that your righteousness is as filthy rags. So there is no difference. Our niceness may as well be naughtiness. Our naughtiness may as well be niceness. In God's eyes. I'm not saying that's not free license to go and sin and do whatever you want. But we need to have a healthy realization of what it is that God has done for us and what the actual Christ is and how Christ is the truest gift of Christmas. We have to understand the weight of Christmas. The Super Bowl, yes, is Easter. That's the day we celebrate the risen King. But the gift was sent on Christmas Day. It's kind of like, y'all, who orders from Amazon? Many of you, I'm sure, Amazon, whatever. You order something online, you push that order button, and you're waiting for the confirmation and the fact that it is in a box, and UPS has picked it up and is sending it. And then, so I ordered something for my fish tank a couple months ago. And this cool little option came out. Would you like to track this with Route? Which is another app. So now anytime I order something or something is sent to my address, I ordered my insurance sent me a DNA kit. And I was like, I got a thing from Route. Hey, you got a new order on the way. I'm like, I didn't order anything. Heather gets them notifications. She sees my phone. What'd you order? I would recommend leaving the push notifications off if you have Route and don't want your wife to know what you've been ordering. Oh my good. I'm filled with good information today. In all the commercialism of Christmas, it's easy to see why and how the secular world has taken the celebration of the greatest gift ever and turned it into a huge punchline. Think about that. Think about how we act, right? In all of our, I'll just be honest, in our greed, not necessarily you, I'm not blaming any of you in particular, but if you are the person who at, we'll say big box store A, we only got one here in town, or we've got two because you go to Black Friday. One of those particular stores actually like is the author of the war on Christmas and the happy holiday thing, right? And you're there at Black Friday and you just kneecap some old lady because you needed four sets of $20 pans. And that old lady sees you and she's in line right behind you and you just not even noticing because you've got your four sets of pans. You have two big screen televisions that were part of a bundle. And you're getting all this stuff for cheap. And the lady says, happy holidays. Because her corporate overlord says that she has to. Because Christmas, she can get fired for saying it. And you grab your receipt and your change and you say, it's Merry Christmas. Keep Christ in Christmas. that old lady who you hobbled in order to get your four pants or four sets of pants never even heard of Jesus. What have you spoken about Jesus? That you're just as greedy and just as wrong and just as mixed up as the world. That'll sting you. I've been there. I've knocked some people over. I don't do Black Friday shopping. Heather does. I send her and she'll stab you. No, I'm just joking. I really don't do, I can't do it. The crowds and everything. But Heather, for whatever reason, we for a long time didn't. And she was like, one day she's like, I want to go. Like, just to see what it is. And we're not as bad. Like, sometimes in the big cities, it's like a riot. Well, I don't know that there's been riots out here, but people get crazy about it. Yeah. But Heather won't actually stab you. She's been saved. She's all right now. She won't play around, though. That's for sure. That's for sure. So back to what I was saying. God is so good. Oh, man. Christmas is about the love of God. And the gift, when he talks about it in John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. You know what? I want to kind of go into something really quick. Just came up. If I can get my Bible to work for me, come on here. In Proverbs 8, I learned this in OSL, and I've taught it for so long about the love of God, right? And in 8:30, wisdom is talking, and this is actually the word of God, which we know because of John is John 1, that this is Jesus. And it says, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. In the beginning, before you were born, God loved you. In the beginning, before you were a thought, God loved you. Jesus delighted in you, knowing full well the fall of man was coming. Knowing full well that the vast majority of us would turn. Christianity is the largest religion, but the reality is those that are unsaved, those lost souls, that's the largest population that there is. Whether it's because they believe in another God or they don't believe in God at all. There are lost souls out there that need to be reached. Because God delights, Jesus delights in you. He delights in me, and he delights in those people that are lost. You got to understand that. We have a job as Christians to be lights. We have a job as Christians to be the shepherds. Because you'll remember, the shepherds, as soon as they went and saw Jesus, they went and told somebody. Y'all know that? They went right out. They're like, we got to tell everybody about this. Big giant, huge angel, showed up, told us about this Jesus guy. We went and seen the Jesus guy. Woo! Like, for real. We ought to be that excited. God loves us. This is the gift of Christmas. This is the true meaning of Christmas. God's love manifested for mankind to reconcile us to him. It is a free gift. It's been promised since the fall. It was centuries in the making. The gift had to be delivered on time, at a certain time, and for a time. Yeah. This is the time. This gift is received free of charge to the recipient and is received in spite of your failures, in spite of your shortcomings, and in spite of your sin. It is a gift that never loses value, is never last year's model, and will never break down. The gift of God is Jesus, God's Word made flesh. In the Message translation, in John 1, it says that I'm just going to read it to you guys because I love it. It's my favorite translation of this particular scripture. The Message. And it's just because certain words they use. The Word was first. The Word was present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Now, I think we move on down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That enough right there. That's awesome. Right? The Word in the New King James and most translations says the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. But that dwelt among us. But there's a little bit difference between dwelt among us and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus moved in the neighborhood for you. Because there's people that dwell among us, dwell among men, and I'll never see them. But if you're in my neighborhood, I'll see you. Even if you don't like me, I'll see you. Heather's been... our neighbors put up their lights before I could. And everybody was putting their lights up before I got my lights up. And I was mad about it, I'll tell you what. And Heather kept making fun of me, giving me a hard time about it. The neighbor, he'd be out there putting up his lights. And he's come a long way. He does a good job. It's not my lights, but... He come a long way, right? Tom's actually who showed me how to do lights. So, but I finally got my lights up. But I see that neighbor. I'll see him every time he's out there putting his lights up. I don't know that he likes me. I lent him a ladder when we first moved in. And he used it for like 10 minutes, went and bought his own. He's like, that ladder's janky. It's an old aluminum ladder. I get on it. I don't know what his problem is. I'm 300 pounds. I'll be up there putting lights on. The wind will get it. It makes it fun. All right. So, but if you move into my neighborhood, I know who you are. Yeah. I don't necessarily search your name on Facebook, or not Facebook, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I do. I search you. If I find your name, I'm going to search you out. I want to know what you're about. See if I need to go and pray in front of your house and get rid of you. I apologize. I'm digressing so bad. So Jesus moved into the neighborhood. If we would get as excited about Jesus, bear with me. If we would get as excited about Jesus, thank you. The apostle, I'm going to go talk to them. So if we would get as excited about Jesus, okay, thank you. Wendy Jean's got it. Man, that's we gonna be. Heather asked me. She's like, "Hey, would you make sure to take some time so I can feed the kids? Because we've been getting out of here real early lately. Because they're having a party. So if we could get as excited about Jesus, oh man, it's like pulling teeth. You guys are bad. Never mind. I'm not gonna say that. So as we do about that 65-inch television with a sound bar that's only $114.99 this day only." Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all, seriously, there are people who will not get up to go to church on Sunday morning because it's too early. But if Black Friday was Black Sunday and it happened at 3 a.m., they would be there with bells on. People dress up for Black Friday. They're all in there cute, like the girls with the cute Uggs and the dudes have got their nifty sweaters on with the... What are they, a scarf or something? All tied up. They look like Christmassy, right? It's like they're going to church or something. We need to be as excited about Jesus and spreading the word as we are about telling people the killer deals we got on Black Friday. But are we? Are we missing it? Ask yourself, do I get more excited about such and such than I do about Jesus? I don't care if it's Black Friday. I don't care if it's Super Bowl Sunday. What are you putting ahead of the gift that God gave you? What are you more excited about? Take a break from it. Well, this is way off the notes, but take a break from those things that are taking you from God. If you're more excited about tuning in to the next episode of whatever show you're watching, stop watching it for a while. And don't cheat and DVR it. Take a break. Because we took OSL, and that was 4 to 6 weeks of you didn't watch nothing. And everybody would be like, oh, I got this. They wouldn't even worry about the shows. They wouldn't miss them. Because they'd either spend their entire 1 hour on that one thing, or they DVR'd it, and then they didn't come to church the last Sunday because they had to watch that show so they could be caught up. What's got you that excited? Mute it for... You ain't got to do it forever, but mute it for a little while. Don't listen to it. Don't tune in. Take some time. Spend it with Jesus. So if that's a once a week show on Sunday, 7 o'clock, and if it's a 30-minute show, cool. 30 minutes you're going to be in prayer. 30 minutes you're going to be in the Bible. 30 minutes you're going to be worshiping. Well, I don't care how you do it. Spend that 30 minutes with God. If it's an hour-long show, you can still do 30 minutes if you think that's okay, but you should probably do the hour. I remember when I first started doing OSL, it changed my life. Without OSL, I'm tell you what, I probably wouldn't be standing here talking to you the way I am. It changed my life. It changed my life. We had great pastors bringing in great teachers. We still do. But changed my life. Because you do. You feast on the word. You replace those times that you spend with the TV, or I'm bad with the Xbox. Not Xbox, but I play PlayStation. And there'll be times when I'll just skip reading. I'll do it in a little while, and then it's bedtime. Now I got to read twice as much the next day. No, I'm just joking. But seriously, examine yourself and say, hey, am I taking in all of the gift of Christmas? Because I guarantee you, well, I'm going to, Pastor Ricky got a really cool bow when he did that TV show. It was a gift, right? You use it as often as possible. Like, for real, he's excited. If I need his help and it's on bow season, or any season, really, he'd be like, as long as it's not this day, I love you. But I've got to go. There's a deer been calling my name. And I got that. That's cool. But do we take advantage of the gift that God has given us? Do we spend as much time with those gifts as the ones we get earthly that come from some commercialized craziness, whether it's our birthdays or Valentine's days or whatever? That's what God wants. He didn't say you can't enjoy the things of this world. He didn't. He didn't say you can't have fun. We have a ton of fun. I hope a bunch of you show up to New Year's Eve. I really do. Because y'all ain't been to a party until you've been to a party with Pastor Ricky and I. Straight up. Pastor Chelsea leaves early. That's why she said that. She's like, just so you know, I'm out at 10. But do that, examine yourself and make sure you're taking advantage of the gift that God has given you. And sometimes it sounds bad, like I'm taking advantage of the gift that God has given me. No, He did it for a purpose. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed so you can bless others. So when people be like, I don't know why you want all that, why you're up on that faith message and the prosperity, because it is really hard to pay off somebody's house when I can't afford to put gas in my car.
Come on.
For real. It is real hard to buy somebody lunch if I can't buy bread. Let's be honest. Somebody better get more excited about that. Wendy Jean's got it. I got it. God wants you to be a blessing. So learn to be a blessing by spending time in here, getting to know the true gift of Christmas, getting to know what it is God has for you. Because God loves you. I love my kids, right? And I give them a hard time. I do. I'm rough a little bit. I know there's rougher parents out there. But I'd give them anything if I had it. Right? They're my boys, my daughter. I make them pay me some grocery money. They get to live at my house. They need to move. But I do. And I give them a hard time, and they have to take care of stuff. But there is not a thing in this world that I would withhold from them if I had it. God's the same way. No, he's not. He's better. If you knowing how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Exactly. How much more? God is so good, and he gave us a gift. Let's spend time with him. Let's get in the Word and realize how much God has for us. And then take it. Because that's all he wants you to do. I'll tell you, 1 year we decided that we were going to sow into their abilities. We didn't buy a bunch of stupid stuff. We bought Isaac a violin. We bought Gabe an amp for their guitar. Or his bass guitar. And we bought Ireland a karaoke machine. She hadn't developed much yet, but she wanted to sing. So we thought that would be cool. She can sing, though, just so you know. And so, I put a lot of planning into that and a lot of thinking. Like, for real. And they were not excited. It was, they don't go like, I'm not saying they weren't happy about it, but they were not like, I thought, man, we got them this year. This would be the best ever. Didn't happen. I put so much time planning and thinking into that. So think about that next time you hear somebody say, why are you talking about all this prosperity? Because it's a gift from God. Why are you talking about that healing? Because it's a gift from God, and I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to be not too excited about it. I'm going to be just ecstatic that he did this for me. I think that maybe she's fed the kids. Maybe she has. I think we'll end it right there. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful time in your word, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. Well, it couldn't have been easy, Lord. Scripture says he's your only begotten.